Well, hello.
This is the legacy call, which means you have been in no BS for over a year, and that means you get to get coached today. This is the call just for y'all, since you are loyal loyal people here at the no BS. So if anybody wants coaching, now is the time to start raising your hand. As of right now, no one wants. Oh, nope, there's Linda. She's ready. She's like, I'll take some coaching. Let's go. And if y'all are wondering, if you were on the last call, Corinne, you look a little darker. I literally got a spray tan in between. I have someone that she comes to my house. I bought her all the equipment. And I was like, I'm gonna buy all the equipment if you will just come and you will spray tan me when I need a spray tan. And so she does. All right, Blenda, let's get you pulled up. Let's see, where are you? All right, she's a coming. Anyway, I did that real quick in between calls and I went to the bathroom. So it took me that long to do those two things. All right, let's get you unmuted and get your video on. Hey, Linda.
Hey.
Hey, what you want coaching on?
Well, probably a couple things. I'll just tell you what's going on. For the last 2 weeks, I'm a diabetic, not for the last 2 weeks, for much longer than that. But
Okay.
I've been doing, you actually coached me about 2.5 months ago about me worrying about if I was going to stay on track. But so I had been doing great. The last two and a half weeks, I have all of a sudden discovered that DoorDash will bring me anything I want, and I'm choosing to eat foods that don't jive with taking care of my diabetes. Lots
Okay,
of
so that's good
candy,
awareness. I don't
donuts.
need to know what all you're having.
Okay.
So DoorDash will
So,
bring you things. So they'll bring us anything we want, including foods that will work for us.
Right.
Okay.
And I journaled about it, and what's coming up is that I'm living in a lot of fear right now.
Okay. Of
And
what?
which is also good knowledge. But I'm feeling a lot of shame over the eating I've been doing.
Do you need to?
I don't know. But
Okay.
I
So,
am.
right. So that's easy. Like if you intellectually know, I don't actually, I mean, is your eating actually a shameful event?
Well, it kind of is. I wasn't being honest with my accountability group about it.
But what does that have to do with it, your eating being a shameful event?
It's just not good for me. And it,
But is that a shameful event?
no. It's, I mean, intellectually, I know the answer is no.
All right, that's all we need is the intellectual side of us to understand it. Because some people, even their intellectual side, doesn't even understand that. Because it's all
Okay.
right if your emotional side believes all kinds of things.
Okay.
Like our emotional side believes that if we hang our feet or our hands off the bed while we're sleeping, a furry thing might grab us from underneath the bed sometimes.
Right.
Like, have you ever been in bed and literally sucked your arms or your feet off because it's like, well, I mean, I intellectually know there's nothing living under the bed. Like, as a 50-year-old woman, I will not sleep with a limb hanging off the bed because irrationally, I think something could grab me.
Okay.
So that's how we know, like, it doesn't matter what your irrational brain thinks. Like, your irrational brain thinks like, oh my God, not only are you eating foods that aren't good for your diabetes, but you didn't even tell your accountability group. I mean, open hell's gates now. She's going.
That's my fear. That's one of my fears.
You're going to hell for eating sugar?
Know that my accountability group's going to kick me out.
Okay, but is that for real? Like, if you went in there and said, I've been ordering DoorDash, and let me tell you, they bring candy, they're gonna be like, well, you're out of here. Like, I want you to think about it logically. Logically, is your accountability group gonna kick you out?
I sure hope not.
Okay,
I
so at
think,
least you there's a part of you that thinks no.
right. I
And
think
let's
they're
just
going to
say
be
they
on.
did. Then let's say they did. They're like, we are sugar-free mamas. Like, you cannot be here. Like, it jacks us up. We don't want to be around the sugar, and you love the sugar. We got to let you go. All right, that's the worst case scenario, is that your accountability group says, please leave. Then what do you do after you shame yourself? Then what happens?
I would find another accountability group, I guess.
Yeah, you'd probably say, like, Dina, can you put me with a group that doesn't mind if I mess up?
Right.
I just want you to see, like, it can be as not a much of a problem as you're making it out to be, because when it's not a big problem, it's easy to find solutions. When it's a huge problem, I need to work on my shame, Corinne. I'm going to keep ordering DoorDash, but let's work on my shame. And can we work on my fear around getting kicked out of an accountability? Can I just work on all the irrational thoughts I'm having? I'm like, no, let's just call them irrational and move on to what do you want to do about ordering sugar at DoorDash?
Right. I want to stop. What the original fear that I feel like was driving my emotional eating is my husband was just diagnosed with COPD and has been
Okay.
in the hospital twice in the last month.
Yeah.
And my 85-year-old mother who lives with me is having knee replacement surgery next week.
Okay.
And we don't know if she's going to get into an aftercare facility.
Okay.
So,
There's fear and uncertainty.
yeah.
Okay. So that I would rather work on that
Yeah, that's, yeah,
than
me
to
too.
like, but just for you, because like you presented first with shame and fear you'll get kicked out of your accountability group. And it's like, who cares? You're ashamed. All right. All of us do that first. And then we can say, like, you know what? It really doesn't matter. Like,
Okay.
what really matters is figuring out why I'm eating to begin with. It
Right.
doesn't matter that I've done it. And I'm pretty sure my accountability group would rather me to be honest.
Yeah.
And if they don't like my honest, the honesty of this is what's going on for me in terms of, hey, I happen to be eating and stuff. I probably just need another accountability group if that's not for them, because I want a group that, talks about these things.
Right.
Okay. So problem solved there. Now we know the reason why it's not, we haven't just suddenly discovered DoorDash will bring us things. We want to say, like, here's what's really going on. I'm worried about my husband and I'm worried about my mother.
Yes.
So how can I worry about them without eating?
Right.
So
That's
how
what I
can you
want
do
to
that?
figure out.
So how could you worry about them without eating? Because we could also absolve some of our worries, but the first thing I like for a lot of you, if you know you are someone who's going to worry, let's just say it is very natural for me to worry about things, but I want to
Okay.
be a warrior who doesn't eat.
Okay.
So let's solve that problem first, and then we'll kind of dig into your mom and your husband a little bit.
Okay. Well, when I spoke to my sister, she was like, just take DoorDash off your phone. So I've done that, but like last night, and I didn't do it last night, but last night I was like, I can always just put it back on the phone. Like, it's just as easy to take it off as
Yeah,
it
I
is.
mean, but that's just noise thoughts. And like taking it off your phone's not a solution for how do you become a warrior who doesn't eat? That's the problem we want to solve. Like, how can I be someone that when life has hard times and there's uncertainty and fear, how do you be the person who feels those feelings and doesn't eat instead of like, I'm going to be that person and I'm going to eat through it?
I'm sure there's probably a course I could take in this group
No,
that
there's
would help
not. I
me.
do not have a course on this. I'm asking for you to tell me what do you think has to happen for you to feel worried about. Let's start with your mom. She is going to have knee surgery, and you do not know if she's going to be able to go into an aftercare facility. So
Right.
it makes sense that your brain thinks, I should worry about this. We got to worry about this. We got to worry about this. When your brain starts worrying instead of eating, how are you going to be someone who has a brain that worries and doesn't eat?
I could reach out for help for somebody to talk to.
Okay. That's one thing. What else?
I could journal.
Yep. What else? What's very accessible in the moment when you're like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen with my mom. I probably should order some DoorDash candy. This is for sure going to be the thing that's going to help me. I just want it. Is
I
there
don't know.
anything that you can do, first of all, to clear up the uncertainty?
No.
Okay. So
No.
the one thing we could tell ourselves is, hey, there's literally nothing I can do about this. I might as well not worry about it. Because if there's nothing in my control here, then I shouldn't eat over it. And I shouldn't worry about it. I know I'm worrying. What happens if she doesn't get into an aftercare facility?
I'm gonna have to go to a, we're gonna have to go to a handicap accessible hotel because I've got steps coming up to, we'll have to go to, that's not important why. And then
Oh, so you have a solution.
I do.
So you could tell yourself when your brain is worrying about, I just don't know if she'll get in a facility. It's like, it doesn't matter if she gets in one or not. It'd be great if she does. But plan B is we're getting a hotel.
Yeah.
So like, now what are we worried about when it comes to your mom?
Just a hotel just isn't as ideal as a care facility, you
That's
know.
what you
Well,
need to tell yourself. Like, that's the thought you need in that moment when you're wanting to, like, I'm so worried she won't get into a thing. You need to say, like, it doesn't matter. We're gonna have a hotel. It's gonna work out. It's not ideal, but there's a plan. We really need to stop worrying about this because she's either going to actually get into a facility or we're going to plan B, which is a hotel. Not ideal, but there's a solution because your brain is like, what's gonna happen if we do? That's the way you presented it to me. What's gonna happen? And you're not answering it. You're saying, I know what's gonna happen, DoorDash. That's what's happening. We are
Yeah.
gonna eat DoorDash and hope we get into this facility. And then, of course, you feel relieved because you feel like you're doing something. And all your brain is saying is, I need certainty. And you need to be like, I am certain we will get a hotel where we can do this. May not be ideal. I know that's not the one solution I really want, but it isn't like we don't have a solution. And you have to tell yourself that each time because you're trying to give, your brain is saying, I want some certainty. And you're saying, all right, I'm very certain DoorDash has candy. So we just want to make sure we feed the right beast.
Okay.
Okay. Now
Okay.
let's talk about the husband, the COPD. What are we afraid of?
Well, it is death is going to come much sooner, and I, again, logically, I know there's no guarantee, but he vapes, and he's not stopping that.
Okay.
He's not doing all the things he could to better his situation. So my concern is
And what do
that
you
he's
make
just.
that mean? That he's not doing anything to make the situation better.
Well, part of me makes it mean he doesn't care enough about us to try.
Is that true? Why do you think he continues to vape? Because he's like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about them. I just don't care about them. I want to vape. Is that, do you think that's what's going on in his head?
I think it kind of might be. I think it's a hard habit to break. I vape as well, and I told him, I said, I will quit with you. Like, I'm ready.
Okay.
And
What stops you from quitting ahead of time?
me?
Yeah.
Well, because it's a hard habit to quit.
Oh, so it might not be. He's like, you know what? That is so nice of you, but I have decided, Linda, I don't really care about you or anyone in our family. Like, I'm just going to vape because, like, I've hated y'all all these years.
Right. I and
That's what you're
yeah.
telling me the story is. You're telling me the story is he doesn't love us enough or care about us. Or is it vaping's fucking hard to quit? I know because I'm sitting here watching him get COPD and I keep doing it. And I'm
Right.
like, I would only quit if you're gonna quit. But if you're not gonna quit, I don't care enough about me to quit. Or is it not that you don't care enough? Is that it's just hard?
It's just hard.
Yeah, just like it's hard to have all this uncertainty and all this fear and not order DoorDash. I mean, your dad, I mean, you can kind of understand. I mean, he could easily be sitting there going, like, here's Linda. She must not love me. I mean, she's got diabetes and she's fucking ordering candy just because her mom's gonna have to go to a hotel. I mean, could you imagine if he was sitting there thinking, like, she must not love me at all?
Oh my God, that's such a good perspective.
You know, sometimes I land the bullseye.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just
For
want you to
sure.
think about that. Like the I think the anxiety and the pain that you're having is so self-inflicted. You're not upset because he's vaping and has COPD. You're upset because you're making it mean he doesn't care enough about us. Instead of, this is really hard for him. And I'm scared he's going to die. He's going to die sooner than he needs to. That's all that's really going on here. And that just takes it down a level. It's like, I understand that I'm scared, and I'm scared because I do really love him. And I love him enough to know he loves us. This is just hard, and it's probably scary for him too.
Right. Oh.
I mean, what would it be like for you to be thinking, how do I do the next few months showing everyone how much I really do love myself and them? Because if I really loved me, well, and it's not if, I think you do. You love yourself, you love everyone around you. It's like, how do I want that exemplified? I mean, from love, you
Yeah.
would probably not be ordering DoorDash. You would be thinking,
Right.
you know, this is just a tough period of my life.
Right. Yeah. And it is so scary.
Yeah.
I guess I need to learn how to let myself just go ahead and be scared.
Well, what's the worst that's going to happen if you're scared?
I just don't like that feeling. Is it, I guess the worst thing that's going to happen if I'm scared is I'm going to feel my feelings.
And what is feeling your feelings going to be like?
Uncomfortable.
Like, give me, like, paint the picture for me.
Well, like right now, even as we're talking about it, my chest just feels heavy. Crying. Very uncomfortable. It's, I don't feel good in my body right now.
Yeah. But you probably aren't feeling really good either when your blood sugar's out of whack, you're judging yourself, hiding from your accountability group. I bet all of that doesn't feel good either.
No.
So it's
No, Phil.
like on one side, it's like we're doing these certain behaviors that are causing all these unintended other feelings like shame and hiding and frustration and things like that. Sometimes we like say, well, I don't want to feel this crying thing and this whole heaviness in my chest, so I'm going to feel all this. And
Yeah.
there's zero upside to that. It just keeps us
Zero.
stuck. It doesn't solve the fear. It doesn't take any of that away. It creates all of this. But then when you're over here and you just cry and you just are like, this is hard. Like, I love him and I understand why this is so hard for him. I'm just scared he's gonna die. And you can like allow yourself to have that. On the other side comes some relief. It's like, okay, I've felt this. And there's clarity that usually comes with it, because when you allow yourself to actually cry and do some of the feelings, you really get an opportunity to say, like, have some perspective. Like, I wonder what's going on for him, instead of just, making up stories and then getting pissed and then going and eating about it.
Right. Okay.
I think sometimes, like, the reason why I ask y'all sometimes to like paint the picture of what it's going to look like what is uncomfortable? What is it's going to be hard? Like, literally write that out. Like, this is what it would look like for me. I would spend 2 hours crying, and it would be a jag. And I would lock myself in a room and I would do these things. And like, kind of when we see all that, it's like, okay, that's literally the worst of it.
Okay.
And then on the other side, a lot of times when you get all that feelings out, it's a lot easier to say, and now how do I want to show up? Like, what conversations do I want to have? Have I talked to, like, have you even talked to him and said, I know you've said, I'll quit with you, but have you gone to him and said, I've really been thinking about this. I will bet you vaping is really hard to quit. Like, even when I'm thinking about doing it with you, like, it feels like big and hard and stuff. Like, what are you thinking?
No, I haven't, but I will.
Like, I
That would
wonder
be.
what that conversation would look like versus the one that's like, well, I will quit smoking with you. And then but it's the background of it is, and if you loved us, you would too.
Right. Right. I will have that conversation.
Yeah, and I would just talk to him about it and just say, like, you know what? Whether you vape or not, I'm gonna love you. But
Okay.
I just need you to know, like, I'm gonna be devastated if something happens to you.
Okay.
And that's one that I recently had a very similar conversation with Chris. I just told him, I was like, I just need you to know, if you die before me, it's just not gonna be easy for me. Like, I just wanted to have the conversation with him. And I said, sometimes, like, when you eat like this, or when you're not lifting weights and stuff, it just kind of amps me up and makes me like, I start thinking like, oh gosh, you're gonna die before me. You're gonna die before me. And I was telling him from the perspective of, I literally told him, Linda, I just said, whether you want to change your behaviors or not, that's up to you, because I'm gonna love you until you draw your last breath. I'm just really hoping that you're here for a long time. And if you want to do something about that, that's great. But I just let him know how much I loved him, because I really did. And I know 100%, like, I really feel this in my heart, that there's not a part of Chris that's not taking care of himself because he's like, well, you know what? I've really thought about it. I just don't care about Corinne and Logan very much. Why bother? Like it's not that. It's usually it's going to be hard. I'm so in the habit of doing these things. I like these foods. This is the way I enjoy eating. Like I don't, he doesn't love lifting weights like I do. I'm always worried about him not lifting weights. I'm like, baby, please lift weights. I don't want you to be, stuck in a wheelchair one day or something. It's like, I'll put you anywhere you need to go, but I know you won't enjoy that. So I just talk to him about these things, but I don't do it from the space of, if you don't fix this, you must not love me. I do it from the space of, I love you so much. I just want to tell you the things that I'm observing, but I'm going to love you no matter what. Because that's the truth. I will love him no matter what.
That's the truth. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Linda. Thank you
Have a
for
good
your
day.
time. All right. Bye-bye. And if Linda's listening, that DoorDash will bring you a salad too. Uber Eats does at least. Patty. Let's see. Make sure. Well, Patty, I don't know why today's Zoom, the first time I pull it up, it's not pulling it up. So weird. Oh, Patty's declining. Mary Elizabeth? Patty, you can just lower your hand. Well, everybody who's got their hand raised, if you're hitting decline, I can't pull you up. Mary Elizabeth, it says you decline too. Julie? Only raise your hand if you actually want coaching. All right, here comes Julie. Or only raise your hand if you're ready to get coaching. If you just have your hand raised and you're like not in a place where you can get coached, just lower your hand and raise it when you can get coaching. All right, Julie, let's go.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay. Hi.
Hey.
So I have recently started seeing a naturopathic doctor, and I haven't, she ordered all this blood work, urine, poop test, all of
Yeah, I did that like 6 months ago. I was like, I had to do spit tests, urine
it.
tests, you name it. I was testing.
And some of the results have come through, and so I'm looking at them in my Quest, diagnostics portal. I haven't met with her yet, and the big one that came up that's standing out to me, and I am in major judgment zone about, is C-reactive protein, which is a marker for possible heart disease. And the issue that I'm having is how much I have judged my father for his lifestyle and decisions and diet and what him and my mom, fed me growing up, and the immense changes that I have made, that when you look at all of the, you if you Google how to change your C-reactive protein, 8 out of the 10 things that it says I've done without having major weight loss at this point. And my first thought is just, I have tried so hard and am working so hard to not be him, and it's just happening anyway.
So just because you have C-reactive protein, that means you're like your father.
Yep.
All
I'm
right,
gonna
is that
be a mess and be on medications and be half dead.
okay? Is like okay, so your brain definitely has gone to one story. What else could it mean?
Catastrophizing for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely catastrophizing. So what is the reasonable story? A plausible story, not extreme on either side. Like not, this is not a problem. We're nothing like him, blah, blah, blah. Or like, oh my God, we're just like him, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is the middle story?
I mean, a couple of them could be
maybe weight, maybe losing the weight is the last step that you need.
Why are you not just losing weight? I mean, you've been here for over a year. This has nothing to do with C-reactive. Why have you not lost weight in the last, how long have you been a member?
December 2022, Self-Coaching Scholars 2019.
Okay, so 2 years with me. Have you lost any weight?
So the other layer of that is that I have started losing about a half to a pound to a pound of week since I started tracking using the Lose It app, and I had to do a lot of work behind not making it be what Weight Watchers was for me and what restriction has been for me in the past.
It's just counting. Like, literally, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
You know why I don't like Weight Watchers in them? There's nothing to do with calories. There's nothing to do with points and stuff. You know what
they don't work.
No, they work. They work great. But they don't work long term unless you work on your brain.
Right.
I don't care what y'all do. I don't care if you need to, like, if you have health markers that are saying, like, no, we really should be tracking some stuff, so we got to figure all this out. Do that while working on your brain too.
Yeah.
Like my whole thing is, like, all of it's fine. It's when we leave out the critical, like the elephant in the room, which is like, here I got like high C reactive protein. I'm just like my father. Like, I don't want you using Lose It or whatever apps you're using and stuff the whole time thinking you're just like your father. Because now I'm just doing things with a lot of immense judgment and shame and harshness. Like, I'm just like, I don't care what you're doing over there, but we're not going to do this feeling like an asshat. Because it won't last forever. Eventually, you'll just learn how to be like, I just got to keep tracking. I just got to keep tracking because I don't want to be like my dad. Then you'll lose your weight and be like, whatever we do. Now we got to like have anxiety to keep our weight off because we used anxiety to lose it. And now we got to have anxiety about going back because we trained our brain. Oh, weight loss equals anxiety. So that means maintenance must equal anxiety too. So now we got to figure out ways to always be anxious. And I'm just like, no, we don't have to do that. So I don't really care that you're using Lose It and you're losing a good amount of weight per week. That's amazing. But you're also putting the thought work in behind it, which is great.
For sure.
So what is the reasonable explanation?
Genetics. So
you're losing weight. You're like here. It could just be genetics, which makes it more important for you to be like, okay, because if it's genetics, then I'm going to need to do things to work with my genes.
Mm-hmm.
Like depression is big time genetics in my family. That's why I do a lot of work on things to like help me with depression. I mean, my father attempted suicide 3 times. My mother has depression. My grandfather had extreme depression. Like, there's a lot of mental illness that runs in my family. So I pay real close attention to it. I don't sit and be like, oh my God, I'm just like my dad. I'm just like, no, this is what we're working with. So what can I do to help with all of that? And like, you're finding that there may be some genetic reasons behind some of your stuff, and you're making it a shameful or angry thing.
Yeah.
Because how are you not like your dad?
Oh my God. So many magnificent ways.
Okay. So we know you're not like your dad, but it would be really hard to come from his semen and not have some of his DNA.
That's perfect neutralization.
Yeah. It's like my poor brother He's always been thin. He's always been the naturally healthy one, you know, on the outside. Like my brother, and he works out, you know, all this stuff. Oh my God, he's got mammy's doo-doo genetics. Like he went to get a physical the other day. Like all my blood work's always like just like that. And you know, but I grew up really overweight. But I, you know, since my 30s, I've been taking care of myself. Knock on wood, it's gonna continue. And my brother never had a weight problem, all the things. High cholesterol. he's got all the arthritis. I don't have arthritis. Like, I just, he got the, you know, short end of the stick. He got lucky in some things, unlucky in others. Just like with me, like I inherited the obesity gene. Like it was a lot easier for me to gain weight as I got, you know, I got the depression side of things. My brother, nothing bothers him. This, you know, just it's really hard to not pick up some of the DNA from sperm and eggs.
I think what I'm dealing with is a lot of the shame around, well, what does it mean about me if I have spent the last 30 something years judging the members of my family who have all of these health issues, who are, you know, my sister and my dad are on the weight loss drugs, and I, you know, just so much judgment. And it's like, well, what if it was genetic for them too? And I've been just being an asshole.
Well, at least now you know. And I don't think it's that you've been an asshole. You had an opinion.
Yeah.
And now you're just going to have a more informed opinion. I mean, opinions get to change. You right. get to say, like, you know what? I think I called it wrong all these years. It might have just been this. Good to know. Now I don't have to judge them anymore. I mean, that's amazing for me. Because when we live in judgment, it never feels really great. It's kind of hard on us. It creates a lot of like, I've just never heard anyone sit around judging who says, you know, like, I'm just so happy when I'm sitting around judging others. They're usually, you know, we're judging things that we, that work us up on the inside. So we're always the ones that suffer the most in judgment. The person doing the judgment is always the one that suffers the most. So now what you get to see is like, maybe I was wrong about this stuff. Maybe this has always been genetics for all of us. It's never been easy for anyone. Like now that I'm seeing these things play out, it doesn't mean anything about me other than I had one opinion and now I have another one. It doesn't mean I was a bad person. It's just that was my outlook. That's what I thought.
And it just feels like it, like a major identity shift, because this whole time that I've been doing this coaching work for the last 5 years, it's been like, look at what I can do naturally and look at what I can become just without any medical intervention or, you know, just doing the work to be, to do it the right way or to be healthy. And now, like, what if this naturopath says,
and look how amazing that's going to be for you to free you from all of that. But you don't have to think that anymore. Like now the gift is, it's like, oh, like if I need medical intervention, that's nice. If I don't have to judge them anymore, maybe I won't need any, but that doesn't even, like now I'm seeing that doesn't even make me better. That just means like, oh, some of us can do it this way and some of us have to do it that way. And that's just the way the world works. Like, I just want you to think about what a gift that is. Like, you're going to be freed of so much mental drama that you don't even have to have anymore.
That's crazy to me that that is lining up, because my 1 year goal is lose 50 pounds and like quiet the food weight and weight loss noise. And it's just like, whoa, for that, the way things work themselves out that way. That's stunning. if that's the way that it happens, but it had to be that way.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I just find myself with so much anger around this process. And this morning I was just like noticing how angry I get when I'm feeding other people in my family food that I have not put on my plan. And I'm like, we're just going to do it angry today and see what happens.
And why are you angry at feeding them food that you don't have on your plan?
Because I didn't plan it and I want it.
And what?
And I want it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is there, like, I just want you to be thinking about, all right, now knowing what you have, like what you know, it's like, do I have to be angry or can I just be like, oh, this is not a reason to be angry at them. This is like, this is my relationship with food that I'm not dealing with right now. This really has nothing to do with, that's how we're going to lower all that food chatter. Cause it's displaced anger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm mad at you because I'm serving you food I didn't plan, instead of how about I'd not be mad at anyone and just decide I'm either going to eat this or I'm not. And this really has nothing to do with my dad. This has nothing to do with my sister. This has nothing to do with anyone in my family. This is literally a choice. Sometimes I may choose to want to eat some of these things and be okay with, like, today is a day I'm okay with breaking my plan. I'm just going to use my doable hunger, whatever. Then there may be days it's like, you know what? Now that I know this has, I don't need to be angry about this. I just need to make a choice. This is no one's, like, this is no one's fault. This is just literally food on a plate and a decision to be made. I will be eating it or I won't. I just want to know my reasons why or why not. And today I'm not eating it because I didn't plan for it. And I'm done with being angry at other people about this and quit playing the victim. Because usually in that case, we're just playing like we're a victim. It's like, you're not a victim.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a couple of days here.
Yeah. You have high C-reactive protein. You're not like your dad in a lot of ways. You have genetics and you have choices. And you're fixing to be free of all this judgment and stuff. You're starting to see, like, huh, if some people need meds for things, that's not a big deal. It really isn't. It doesn't mean anything about you. Like, my sister-in-law, literally, she's been having blood pressure issues. She's 6 foot tall. Chick has never had a weight problem. Even when she was pregnant, she was just like, I swear it looked like she hardly gained any weight. And JJ is, I mean, I don't think JJ sits down until it's time to go to bed. She's one of the, I call her, she's just like my grandmother. She's a miller. Like, she just mills around all the time. She's always doing something. Her blood pressure has been measuring anywhere from 140 to 160 over something, like, for over a month now. Or it's been long. It's probably been longer, but she got it checked when she went to go get some stuff done. Well, she finally went to a doctor and they just said, it is not coming down with you trying to do things. We have to put you on meds. And she was so devastated. And I was like, why? It's like, she takes good care of herself. I said, JJ, why are you so devastated? She was like, I just never wanted to be on medication. I was like, why? She's like, well, my mother had to go on medication in her 30s. And I was like, but why? Like, what is it that you're making this mean? And she was just like, that I'm weak. And I was like, I don't think you're weak. I think you have genetics. You taking a pill doesn't mean you're weak. It means, thank God we live in the day and age you can take a pill to control your blood pressure or you die. There's always that. For centuries, people did die because there were no blood pressure pills.
Yeah, I really villainize the medical system and I really fight against it. And yeah.
And that's for you to do your work on, like, you know, if I, this is the way I think about the medical system, then this may help or not help you, is Corinne does a lot of things to be healthy. I do all I can so I don't have to take meds. Not because meds are a moral failing, but it's because I want to know I'm doing my best to take care of myself mentally and physically and emotionally. The big three: mental, physical, and emotion. And if I'm doing what I can, but my genetics or my body is not working, I am so grateful to live in a day and age that I can do something about it. That's my personal philosophy. Now, there are some people who are still struggling with taking care of themselves physically and emotionally and mentally, and they need medicine, like especially in this membership, while they're working on it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with them either. I always think, thank God we live in a day and age that while someone's health is on the line, whether it's mental, emotional, or physical, that there are things that we can do. But I always think of meds are the indicator light on the dashboard that, hey, let's work on some stuff too. I want to do my part too. And then there are some people that are just not going to want to do their part. My grandmother was one of them. She would not give up her sweets. She ended up dying of pancreatic cancer. There was not enough diabetes medicines in the world to help her offset it. She just wasn't going to give them up. It was too hard for her. And you know, her diabetes medicines gave her more years with us, but eventually that caught up. And it wasn't because my grandmother had a moral failing or did not love us or anything like that. It's just hard. I know you don't get cancer from diabetes, but she ended up, like, her pancreas got too taxed and she had cancer that started off somewhere else. It ended up spreading. It was a long story, Stacy. But anyway, she didn't honor her diabetes for a long time. And whatever happened, I never made it mean that she didn't love us or that she was weak or anything like that. I'm just like, yeah, it's hard to give up something you really love the taste of.
I think it really helps to be able to look at anything that these providers that I'm working with can help me with that are just tools on the journey that don't have to be permanent. And yeah, be thankful.
Yeah. And I want you to go to the place of, what if they did have to be permanent? Like, even when you say, and they don't have to be permanent, that is that little bit of morality trying to sneak in here. And this is not a moral issue. Like, whether you take pills or not, or your dad gets shots or not, or whatever's happening, that is not part of our moral fiber. The diet industry, the health industry, the natty industry, all the industries have that marketing for them has been people who eat this way or do these things or whatever, somehow they're better than everyone else. You have to be really careful about allowing who you are at the core of being a human to be tangled up in those things.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of grappling these days with figuring out who I even am underneath all this.
Yeah, I think that's clutter. Just stuff for you to be grappling with. Like, I'd much rather you be grappling with that over trying to figure out how not to have to take meds.
Yeah.
Because figuring out how not to take meds doesn't make you become a more understanding and compassionate person for yourself.
Yeah.
And it doesn't let you get in touch with, at my core, this is who I am. This is who Julie is. Julie is a good human, whether or not she's going to need something for C-reactive protein or not. You're still, you know, like, you know, for some of us, it's like, we're still good mothers. We are still, you know, just caring, loving friends. We are like, we are so many things. But then when we start tying it all up into this bullshit, like separating out, like for you, it's like you have your health esteem and then you've got your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And they're very different people. And just figuring out, like, what are those thoughts? Like, who am I at my core as a person? Do I like the way I describe myself? I'd always start with the good stuff. And then, because the one thing we're all good at women is, if I have everybody make a list of what's wrong with you, it's like, I need 10 more minutes of journaling. Like, you know, like every time I have camp and we do anything where we have to like do a deep dive, if we time it and I say, let's start with the good stuff. Pens are down and people are leaving the room and going to the bathroom in 2 to 3 minutes. If I say, now it's time to go with the what's wrong with me list, it's like, where's my tissues? It's like endless scribing and we need more time. So I always want to tell y'all is make sure you're looking at first, like at the core, who am I? The parts of me I respect and love and cherish. And I know this is true about me. Because we are too rehearsed into the what's wrong with me side.
Go
ahead.
I wonder if I should do the relationship course towards myself.
Yeah, you could do the relationships course on yourself. You could also do the relationships course on your health. Your current state of health.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to have a relationship with that? Do you want to be judging it? Do you want to be looking down on it because it might need some meds? Like, yeah. You're married to your health. So do you want to be married to an asshole or not? And you have total control over that relationship. You may right. not have total control over health markers, but you absolutely have total control over the relationship you'll have with them.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to do it because those relationship courses that I took in 2019 and 2020 made my relationships with everybody else phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did it towards number one.
Have you done the relationships course we have here in OBS?
No, I think I only did them in Scholars.
Do mine. I think okay. I'm going to be real honest. I think mine's better than the one in Scholars.
Oh, no doubt. I'm sure.
The only reason I know is because we did relationships last month in Scholars and I started and I was like, oh yeah. Like I remember, like it's, I don't think it's as deep as we go. I think our worksheets are a little deeper. So just watch. It's a whole camp that I did, a 3-day camp. So
the courses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the relationships camp we did 2 years ago, I believe, maybe.
Okay.
But we released it to the entire membership last year or year before. So you can take that and just give it a whirl and see what you think.
I will.
There's been a lot of people who've done the relationships course and done it on different things like people, themselves. They've done it like you could do it on health. You can do it on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. I think that's definitely worthy work for sure. 'Cause,
all right.
Yeah. Thank you, Corinne.
You're welcome.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Let's see. Mary Elizabeth, let's try again. Patty is scared to death of maybe having to go on diabetes meds because of the side effects. Will you tell me what I can think now? I would just say, I'm going to try the diabetes medicine. Mary Elizabeth, I don't know what happened to you. Well, shit, it looks like you went away. Tanya? You could just tell yourself, I know I'm scared. I can always try them. And if the side effects are bad, I can always stop them. Because that is an option. You don't have to take them, even though you may need them and stuff, but there's plenty of people who don't take them. Or you could like say, like, I know I'm scared. Yeah, I'll try one. And if the side effects are bad, I can always tell my doctor and switch to another one. That's probably a few things I would tell myself. All right, Tanya, let's get you unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you need
Oh,
help
okay.
with.
So I got on a call. I'm just trying to spot where I've stopped moving. I got on a call about 2 months ago with MJ, and we were talking about the struggles I was having with my PCOS and dealing with the fact that I couldn't control what food was coming in because food wasn't secure.
Okay.
And she wanted me to sit down and just kind of focus on trying to get a couple meals that would work. And I started doing that and I realized I had to deal with the thought work first. So
Okay.
I've spent the last 2 months telling myself I couldn't control what was happening. I couldn't bring the food in. I couldn't control that I didn't have control of the food. And I'm in a much better space now.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out how to tell myself that it's going to be okay, that I plan something different than my family eats, and that I have to do two sets of plans, and it's okay. And
Why is it not okay to eat something different than your family?
budget,
Do what?
time, the budget and the time.
How much money is it costing you to eat different than your family?
About $40 or $50.
A week? Okay. Why is it costing you $40 or $50 a week to eat different than your family?
Because I'm really not supposed to eat anything with bread or anything with sugar, very, very limited carbs. So
Okay.
I'm having to buy a lot of stuff that's gluten-free and blah, 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 and more expensive.
Okay. So it's going to cost me $50 a week. Do you have the money, or is this putting your family in like economic danger?
It's not danger. It's uncomfort.
It's what?
It's uncomfortable. It's not danger. It's
Okay, so that's good to
tight.
know. Why is it uncomfortable then to spend $50 a week on food for you that will help your health? Because it's not doing anything dangerous to them, so why is it uncomfortable then?
Because I know I have to save for other things that are coming up.
So, like what?
Childcare.
So let me ask you this. Are you not going to be able to get childcare because you have to eat special foods different than your family? Do what?
I put on my credit card and I make it work.
Okay, so that's good to know that that thought is I would make childcare work even if that meant I needed to eat different from my family. Is there a way that you could eat different than your, like, not eat bread, not eat sugar and stuff for less than $50 a week? Because you're buying gluten-free food. There's probably cheaper ways. I mean, last time I checked, beans and rice, no sugar,
True.
no bread in that. And it's probably one of the cheapest shit things you can eat, and it's good for you.
I think I've been trying to find recipes that sound appealing, and a lot of the blogs are all fancy schmancy, I guess you could say.
You could go to like how to eat gluten-free and sugar-free on the cheap. Have you tried to Google that?
No, I've been so focused on just getting the meals that the nutritionists and stuff are saying, like, eat this, eat this, eat this.
Okay. Have you told your nutritionist I need very affordable meals because I'm going to have childcare expenses coming up? And some of the stuff that you're
No,
telling me to eat seems to be expensive.
I haven't. I should. I haven't. I guess I was afraid to not do it right. I'm really, really big on being a perfectionist, and I work on that thought a lot. I made a video on working on that thought.
Let me ask you this. What does this have to do with like being a perfectionist? Like, tell me
So,
something the nutritionist has asked you to eat that's expensive.
the almond flours and the coconut oils and avocados are a lot more expensive here than they used to be. Just a lot of protein. Protein's just expensive here.
Okay,
I
so
mean,
this is like, so now that you know that the biggest problem that you're running into is the nutritionist is saying, because like, here's the thing, you don't have to use almond flour at all. You could just tell
yeah.
her, like, I need foods that don't require almond flour or these expensive things. Like, I am on a budget, and what I need is I need menus for someone who's on a budget. And
Yeah.
you're giving me menus that require some expensive ingredients, and I'm okay with not having fancy foods because I don't want to send my kids to daycare and I do not want to put it on a credit card.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I'm coming up with those solutions is because I just looked at what it is that you're afraid of. You're afraid of spending the money. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, so that's a simple fix. Like, we don't have to be afraid of spending the money. It's not like we're running out of money, but we have a lot of control here. Like, I pay the nutritionist. I'm the client. It means I get to decide the terms.
I
And
hadn't thought about that.
I just have to communicate all of my needs. And part of my needs also happen to be, I'm going to take care of myself in this way. And now what I need is budget-friendly things. And here are the things that you've given me. Like, I got to cut this stuff out. And I need to eat more like my family. And here's what they're going to be eating this week. Are there ways that we could prepare these things similarly so we could all eat the same?
That's really helpful. I guess I didn't think I had the ability to say I can't eat that because I've had such trouble trying to find the foods to get there.
Yeah. I would just like, if you've got a nutritionist in your back pocket, oh my gosh, I'd just be like, thank God I get to tell this person what I need. Like, they're not the boss of you. You actually are the boss of them. It's just like when y'all write in to me all the time and tell me all the things y'all would love to have and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, we take all that stuff under consideration. That's how the fucking membership just keeps getting better and better. Could y'all imagine if I ran this membership only on like, this is what I want you to do?
Well, okay. No, that's really helpful. I've really worked on knowing that I can do the things, and I couldn't. There was so much I couldn't control, but this is the things that I know I can and I need to do because I want to lose the weight, and I know it's a little bit more work than I thought it was going to be, and so.
Yeah, I think it'll get easier when you take down some of this stress. One of the things that I do know about PCOS and stuff is you also need a lot less stress.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting around thinking like, this is unfair to my family, I'm over here spending too much money. Like when you're doing all that, you're just stressing yourself out instead of just saying like, where am I stressed? And so what of the stress is real, and what is the stress that needs to be looked at that just needs a solution? What else is stressing you out about this? So there was like these two things you said. One was the money. And what was the other thing?
There's the perfectionism,
Well, it was like
but
you said something about not being able to eat like your family.
yeah, I don't like having to make two meals. I try really hard to batch cook all of our foods 2 days a week and to try to make our schedule easier because that I've done that the last few weeks and I'm less stressful. And but the idea of having to like cook all of their food and then turn around and cook all of my food separately and it just the time and the keeping track of who's what and separating it all out. It's stressful. It's a lot of work.
It's not stressful. It's a lot of work. It's the thought causing the stress. Instead of, this seems like a lot of work, I need to figure out easier ways to handle this. Because it is a lot of work to do both. And so, okay. I would just take, this is, here's the last 2 weeks. Here's the, are we primarily just talking about dinner? Or are we talking about all meals or what?
It's all of them.
Okay, so you're preparing 3 home-cooked meals every day?
Yeah, I batch them. So I do all the dinners at a chunk of time. And then I do things like breakfast casseroles and breakfast muffins. And then we do wraps for the lunches and such.
Okay, so what I would do is I would take those lists of these are the things that I'm batch cooking and stuff and say, I would really like for us to be able to eat on a budget, but I don't want to have to be making multiple things. Where can we have help me figure out ways to come up with family friendly so that I'm only having to cook once, or at least let's nail breakfasts we can all eat that's on a budget. Help me with that. Start somewhere. But then the other thing is, if that's not going to be possible, is to just stop telling yourself it's a lot and just start saying it's my choice. This is literally, I care enough about my health and I care enough about my family eating what they want, and I need to be able to eat what I need. So this has just got to be the new normal, instead of me thinking this is somehow abnormal. No, this is the normal for our family. Because for about, I don't know, 12 years, I had to do 3 food preps every single Sunday. So I had to do all my food because I ate a certain way, Chris ate a certain way, and then Logan ate a certain way. We all had very different diets, basically. And I did it for years. And my attitude about it was, I like making sure we all get to eat what we want. I like that more than cooking every night. I also like that more than me gaining weight because my husband eats like a jackass. I'm I like me staying thin while he eats like a jackass. So I'll just make his jackass meals. My thought work was more around, I had to stop saying this is a lot and having a pity party over it and just say, you choose to do this. You want Logan eating what he needs to eat for his autism. You want to eat this way so you can keep your weight off. And Chris wants to eat this way, and you're the one who does the cooking. So I just had to draw a line in the sand. It's I've got to quit making food prep so stressful for myself, because that was on me. So that took changanging my thinking. But before we change our thinking, if there is a way to change how it's done first, I just always would start with the easiest way. And if that's not possible, then we go to okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to stop doing this in such a way that makes me miserable.
No, that's really helpful. I guess I really hadn't thought about that thought piece. I've been so focused on the now we're in a good spot and we can do the groceries, pretty much, the way we want. And, now we're focusing on us and our family. I hadn't thought about, oh my gosh, I'm cooking dinner again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. Next. All right, everybody. That's it for the day. If you are a business member, guess what? We have another call starting in 20 minutes. So that will be the last call of my day, but there will be, for my business membership people who are in both memberships, we will be doing how to find your first 10 clients in 20 minutes from now. So I'll see some of you over there, because a lot of you rock and roll with me all day on Sundays. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.